Namaste and welcome to the Living India podcast by Purvi Shah Paulini. On business topics and global events in connection with spirituality. Integral and sustainable change means to integrate this aspect on a deeper level as well. Because knowing people means knowing business.
Welcome back to the Living India podcast, today with the business talk. And I welcome Mr. Markus von Reinbaben from Advanced Training Technologies. A very warm welcome.
Hello.
Now, Advanced Training Technologies, which is part of the Schmidt-Kranz Group, has 30 years of experience in technical training and practical connection. Maybe, Markus, you can introduce yourself a bit and elaborate what your company does.
Yeah, sure. I'm Markus von Reinbaum, 29 years old. I obtained a master degree in international management at the university in Worms, Germany. I work for ATT, that's a short form for Advanced Training Technologies we use, since April 2019 as an international project manager. This position includes research for funding opportunities in order to work with international collaborators, writing and developing project plans and market analysis. ATT is a service company which focuses, as you said before, on distribution, development and conducting of technical training. Furthermore, we offer trainings, hardware and consulting, but also we provide development of training concept in close cooperation with the customers. We do use different training methods, classroom training on the one hand, theoretical on training stand or training hardware, and on the other hand, practical on the customer's application or vehicle. Then e-learning, blended learning, and web-based training. Our trainings focus on a lot of different industries like automotive, steel, paper, oil, agriculture, recycling, and mining. Our main fields are hydraulic, pneumatics, electrics, mechanics, control technology, with the CAN bus system. ATT itself is a really young company which emerges from the company Fluid Training, with what you also already said, we have 30 years of experience in the training field, but Fluid Training just offered like the classical classroom training, and ATT went beyond that, and now we have like the other methods. And as you also said, we are part of the Schmidt-Kranz Group. And the Schmidt-Kranz Group is a family-owned group of mid-sized companies with a diversified portfolio of selected industries and services. For example, underground mining, tunneling and construction, steel and cement plants, electric and automotive, high-pressure equipment, hydrogen, and the newest one is the hydrogen-based technologies, like for cars, gas stations. ATT itself is based in Castrop-Rauxel, the heart of the Ruhr area, and has around 20 employees under the lead of Mr. Trumpeter.
Okay. So it's you are very broad fields in which you are interacting. And now I came to know in the beginning of this year, there was a very big article in the IHK, the Chamber of Commerce in Münster, about your company, that Mr. Trumpeter, the CEO, went to India with a delegation. So how did the business relationship with India actually start?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. The one thing was the business delegation. But the other point, what's I think the more important point, is that our sister company GHH, which is based in Gelsenkirchen, is an underground vehicle manufacturer which has established a brand in India. The Indian mining sector has expanded massively in the last years. So the Indian mining customers require a full service of maintenance so that GHH can guarantee a good service. GHH India and the local customer need good skilled people. Together with the fact that the Indian market is so fast growing, there is a high demand of experts for maintainers and operators in the mining sector. This both points were the initial situation to start an education project over there.
Okay. So what I understand is that the market for you as from the training sector, looking from the training sector, seems to be quite prosperous. So why do you think, even in other contexts, is the Indian market for German companies, or let's say even for Western companies in general, a prosperous market? And in which context do you think does it make sense to invest there?
Yeah, that's also a good question. That's it's not interesting for us alone. It's also interesting for other countries because India is a young but fast-growing market with really motivated people. So in my opinion, investment makes sense if they enable long-term jobs and secure working conditions. Advanced training is needed in the fast-growing markets to ensure skilled workers and the possibility to establish itself as a leading nation and therefore a nation at eye level.
Okay. What is your experience right now, saying even in the COVID time, how is it possible to do all these trainings? Do you have the possibilities right now to train or to interact with your Indian counterparts there? And independently from that, do you have a subsidiary in India, or how do you interact and work with India?
At the moment, it's hard to do training, and we've got the GHH India as our partner over there. And actually, our project was planned like starting with a workshop over there and then getting the Indian trainers to Germany to do train the trainer program here. Because we think it's important that we have the right mix of the different methods we use. So normally it works like that. The trainer do our train the trainer program, and after that they can start the training over there themselves. So we can't do that at the moment. So we started with the web-based training, e-learning and blended learning, and the training needs analysis. So the training needs analysis looks at the participants and look in which level they are and which training are really needed. So because we think it doesn't make any sense to train guys over there stuff they don't need or they don't want to learn, because always if you have to learn stuff you don't want to learn, you won't get it. So we started with the training needs analysis and looked which fields are really the important fields to train, and then we just started the web-based training with the trainers. And okay, we've got like you can imagine it like a bit like the Sims was like a computer game, or Counter-Strike, like a shooting game, because you have your own character, you have different rooms where you can go in, and it's not like just a video call. You can do much more in our web-based training. For example, we have 3D models and can have like a live video chat to the trainer in Germany. So we trainer in Germany is working on the trainings hardware, and then the trainer can work on the trainings hardware in India as well, which is on the way there. It's not already there, but it's on the way there. Yeah.
What is your experience? Do you think that there is a difference in being technical savvy or being afraid of using these kinds of technologies, a difference between India and Germany? And if yes, what kind of difference do you experience?
I wouldn't say there's a difference between Germany and India. We have a difference between guys. Some German guys are afraid and some Indian guys are afraid. But we are really lucky. The Indian guys and the Indian trainers we work together are not afraid, and are really happy that we can now do it this way instead of not starting the training.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that, because my experience in Germany right now, since March or even before that, is that doing online trainings was difficult to implement, because I was saying that even previous before, because I travel a lot. And I said, why can't we do certain things online? Not for every single thing I have to travel to India or elsewhere. And now through this Corona situation, we are forced to do so. And suddenly, even in Germany, it is possible. And I had the feeling that with India, it was much easier to do small WhatsApp calls, very fast and quick, if you want to clarify certain things. And changing everything into online sessions was also more accepted from there. That was just my feeling in my field. I don't know, but if you say on both sides from your experience, it's the same.
But I can imagine what you say. Like partners in Germany had also problem with it to do stuff online. They said no real meeting, we can't do it. So it's, I think the Indian, that what I think is what I mentioned before, they are young, motivated people. And yeah, in Germany, most guys are a bit older. So that's maybe the problem.
Okay.
They're not used to it. Like when I look at my parents, they are not used to do a video call with friends, but me and my friend do it like every week or something. It's normal for us. So that's, if you have more guys, they do often video calls. It's no problem to implement this in business.
True. Now you have a quite vast varieties of possibilities in implementing online trainings. And you mentioned them, like blended virtual e-learning, in-house trainings, and so on. Is there something where you would say this is the most appropriate for India?
No. It all depends on the right mix. And we use combinations of all methods to maximize the learning success and the motivation of the participants. As I had said before, we do this training needs analyze, and then we ask the guys what do you want to learn, or which method is the one you want to learn with. So if they say they would just want to do e-learning, then we will give them the most parts of learning in e-learning, because if they're happy with it, that's okay. But you can't, especially in technical training, you can't do everything about e-learning. So that's why we have also the blended learning, where they have to do like holes and tubes training. And yeah, also the on-the-job training, on the vehicles. Like we have for GHH India, we have got two training vehicles over there, so they can practice their something on the vehicle, because you can't train theoretical how to change a air filter or something. You have to really do it on the machine.
Okay, there are certain parts that cannot be replaced by presence trainings. They have to be present in order to see and feel the machine. Even those you have introduced me one to this 3D possible events platform where you can also do trainings where these machines can be introduced on the 3D platform and can be worked on. But at the end, it needs to be a practice on the actual machine in presence in on the field, on the workshop, right? That's what I want to say.
Yeah, but because imagine you do it all online. You can do it online, virtual with a VR glass or something. That's okay. But then you are like 300 meters or 1,000 meter under the earth or in the earth. And then you have to change something and it doesn't work like it says in the books. Then you don't know what to do. But if you have done it like 4 times at a real vehicle, you know, okay, that can happen, and then will work.
It's comparable to a simulation with a plane, for example. To a certain extent, you can exercise and train everything, but at the end, you have to, as a pilot, you have to fly a plane in reality and to understand what happens and how to react if something happens or you have to intervene in serious moments.
That's a really, really good example for it.
I'm very curious, you've been to India, right? You have visited?
No, not yet.
All right, so you are communicating from distance via phone, via web meetings, virtual meetings, and so on, as you explained right now. Have you learned anything from your interactions with India where you say this should be implemented or live in our daily business, which you say that we can learn from the Western world, from another world like India?
Especially in the exchange with other countries, one's become aware how differently people approach with problems and differently we learn. So training should therefore be flexible and consider the different types of learning and education levels of participants, I said before. For my interaction with the Indian business partners, I became aware of some difference between Germany and India that I think are worth to implement in my personal daily business. I admire how Indians are work efficiently and certifiedly while still maintaining the healthy work-life balance. They know how to deliver high-quality work, but also respect the individual needs of all workers, even if this means that deadline has to be extended. But in the long term, this benefits the company and therefore also the workers.
Okay. So I'm an intercultural trainer, as you know, one of my services I offer. So very often it is said that, as you mentioned right now, the timelines and so on are not really met. They have Indians in general. It's also not correct to say Indians in general are not in time. So you have other experiences. And if you say, we do have sometimes problems in time, in delivery, how do you manage that? To be still, to be on time and to deliver that what your client needs.
Yeah, it's like I read your book and you mentioned that in your book. So I always like have to think about it a bit and thinking like when we're giving a deadline, have like a bit longer deadline actually. And until now, we didn't have any problem with it when it took a bit longer.
Okay.
Because what I said before, this was like high quality. So if it takes a bit longer, but the quality is right, then you always can fix it. If it like takes like 2 weeks longer than you should and there's no quality at all, you can't do anything with it.
Exactly. So on the other hand, just to summarize that, you could say that you're actually quite happy with the work when you cooperate with your Indian colleagues. And there are certain things, especially culturally, which have to be considered. And can you maybe point out one or two things which you came to know while working even from the distance, Because I think this is the most important thing, because while we speak on phone or even have web meetings, we don't always see the gestures. And is there something where you said, okay, this is something where I need to get more into it to understand my counterpart?
Actually, I didn't really had a situation like that yet, because I really want to go to India and see it like on the real hand. But since March, when we were going to go there, it's not possible. So yeah, I hope I can tell you maybe in another interview or something in a year or something about that.
Okay. Can you share any incidences, maybe a funny story from your point of view, which was funny with the audience and with the listeners?
Maybe one story is, actually, as you mentioned before, my CEO, Mr. Trumpeter, went in the economical delegation of a counselor, Dr. Merkel, to India. That day we got to know he's in there was a really crazy day. I won't forget it forever, because I filled in the applications a month ago, and then we didn't hear anything about it. And yeah, it was the last Thursday of October last year, and I was on my way to Berlin for an event. 8 o'clock in the morning or something, and Mr. Trumpeter was calling me and said he has two news for me. The one news is he's in the business delegation of Mrs. Merkel, and the second was that some thieves broke into our company last night.
Okay.
So it was like a Thursday, and I'm on my way to Berlin for another event, and yeah, They stole nearly all electrical devices, and there were like so many things to do. Like I was just thought I'm not going to an event in Berlin, coming back on Friday, and everything is fine. And then it's like a lot of work. And the thing was, the mail where it said he's in the delegation came like just a week before. On Thursday came the mail, and on Wednesday he had to catch the flight, so
including organizing the visa and everything. Yeah,
that's what I'm going to say, because Mr. Trumpeter was normally going or had plans for Thursday, Friday, and to go to another customer. So we had to like look who can do what, who can get him the visa, who can get him the flight. And then he said to me, yeah, I have to stay another 3 days longer in Berlin, because there was like a questionnaire at the parliament for the trip. And it was just a crazy day and crazy days until he really could go, because then there were problems with the visa and all that stuff. Yeah, but in the end, we were able to solve all the difficulties, and Mr. Trumpeter could go to India and had a really rewarding trip, and was able to start communications with the Indian companies and meet Prime Minister Modi.
Oh, very nice. So did he share any experiences with you regarding his trip to India? Was there something where you can say that was something striking and he will never forget?
He told me some stories. He met Dr. Merkel. I think that is for Germans. It's like really good. And on the other hand, he said the Indians were so friendly and nice and helpful. So he liked it.
Okay. Yeah. So the very in short time getting the notice that he can accompany the delegation with Chancellor Merkel, and was something untypical German, because otherwise you normally plan it very long term and to be flexible. So I'm saying it with a smile, of course, that you had to be a little bit more flexible. Like actually Indians do that very fast and live for the moment and say, okay, now we have to take this challenge and find a solution for that.
Yeah, And I think the one thing was just that morning they broke into our company. And if you have missing on laptops, screens, whatever, and yeah, just crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, that is everything coming together, but still keeping the center and try to do your work. That is also quite interesting.
Yes.
Now, let's imagine we have 2050 today, the year 2050 today. And how do your business relationship with your Indian counterpart or with India in general would look like?
Yeah, I think one thing in like 30 years will be that traveling will be a lot faster, hopefully. So there will, especially for Germans, actually, not the problem to plan trips weeks in advance. So the work with the partners over there will be a lot easier when you can like fly there on one day and flying back on another day and don't have to like say when I'm going to India, I have to stay there at least 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you mean on one hand, traveling will be faster. So why would that be like that? So what has changed in that, in which context? Why do you think traveling will be faster?
The planes are getting faster there. And just some weeks ago, I was talking with my colleague about the new Concorde, which is planned.
Okay. And also in context with your business relationships to India in general, will it be in depth, or would you think that you will also have explored more the Indian market, or would you be just looking training? Actually, the aim would be to serve even the German customers better, or to even serve the Indians with your services. How does it look like?
Oh, I would say hopefully we can serve the whole world, because hopefully it will be normal that you use different methods of training like we offer. So I can see it like they are in 1 week they are sitting guys from India, New Zealand, Brazil and Germany in the same virtual classroom. And then a week later they meet up for a practical training in India. Oh, wherever. So that I think that will be really great and awesome if it's working like this. And I think it will be possible in 2050 because of faster traveling. And on the other hand, we've hopefully have all over the world good internet connection. Because I heard in India is sometimes a bit difficult with the internet.
Depends on where you are. Sometimes I experience a better internet connection in India, even in the mountains at the bottom of the Himalayas, where I'm quite frequently, than in Munster, depending on where you are and how your access is. And
yeah.
Looking at India today, it on one hand, you can laugh about it, but it's also a little bit sad that you have sometimes better internet connection than access to water. And this is a fact. And if you look at the people in India, how technical savvy they are, everyone has a smartphone, a mobile phone, has access to the world due through social media. It will be very essential, even in spots where you would never imagine that there is internet connection. Of course, it has to be improved, but it's also dependent on weather and many other points that sometimes man cannot or humans cannot control. How important in general would you say the cooperation between Germany and India regarding education is going to be in the future? Is the importance rising, and why, if you see so?
Oh, I hope it will be more important, because I think it's a good thing to work together with India. And on the other hand, it's, in my opinion, it's important to train the guys in India over there, because otherwise they won't stay. I don't know if it's so hard to say, but a third world country, because if you don't train the guys how to do something, just like getting all the naturals from a country, you won't get any new from other countries like India. So when we train India and bring their good education, maybe in 10 years or 20 years, we can get something back from India. That's what I think. Like we can learn from them other things.
Okay. So I have two questions there. So I think we should no more talk about third world countries in the world at all, because I would rather say we are talking about emerging countries. And now I have just recently read numbers about India now independently from Corona. It is really coming, overcoming this, even this labeling of emerging country in a few years. And secondly, we should also not forget that these declarations by industrialized countries, non-industrialized countries, and so on, is given by the Western world in general.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I just used this term to understand what I mean.
Yes, yeah. I understood. So I'm trying to give it back or to answer that again in your words, what you actually meant is that I think you mean the emerging countries. And because India is, if you call the BRICS still, which are now more than the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, it's many other Asian countries are coming up.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But what would it be that I'm talking very often about, which was also in my book, reverse innovation. So you're saying that certain things need to be learned, but what does it need to understand the Indian mindset in order to be successful, in order to implement the products which a German company wants to implement in this country? Because it's not only about education from one side to another, because now the listeners, especially Indians, would say, sorry, but we are educated. So I'm trying to and I'm quite happy that we are having this conversation, kind of bouncing back these thoughts, because I think it is very important that certain things need to be changed, and even the views on different countries from India to Germany and in Germany to India. Because for me, it is very, I see myself as a bridge, and exactly this I want to communicate, because on both sides there is something to learn, and on both sides there are things which are already good, which do not need to be changed. So how do you see that?
I see that the same as you. There are a lot of good things on both sides, and I didn't want to say that Indians are not educated. They are just missing like the part we training on the, for example, for the underground mining vehicles. Like our sister company building them in Germany, and we train on them. That's, I think that's quite clearly that you can't have all the knowledge about machines like that, because they are not built in India. So that's a thing we bring into India, but their stuff is built in India or on the agriculture or whatever. We can learn from India, or how you maybe have a better business life or whatever. So we always have to work together quite closely to have all new ideas and getting forward and not doing a step back. A step back for me would really that we say, here are the machines, you can use them. If they're broken, we're bringing them back to Germany and fixing there. But we're going like the step ahead and saying, we train Indian trainers so they have new jobs, and they can train Indian guys then over there, because it wouldn't make any sense to send Mr. Trumpeter was there to train the Indians, because he's a really good trainer, but I don't think he would be a good trainer for Indian guys, because he doesn't really know the cultures and how to explain it for them.
Okay, understood. So you're focusing on the machines in general and saying that the training should take place in India and then forward this by your Indian colleagues to the next colleagues in India due to the cultural differences and the understanding would not be there from the German side to train on the long term only the Indians.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe you get in some years and we're working there over like 10 or 20 years, then we maybe also some Germans will be able to train Indian guys, but not when you like never had to do anything with India.
Yes. I mean, my experience shows that even people living for 3, 4, 5 years in India interpret, and which is normal, that what is happening there from their point of view, from their value system. And while asking or interacting with Indians, they would get an answer why certain things happen and then only get an understanding. And when I see the books which Germans write on India, it's very interesting to see that if you really look thoroughly in the books, it's really more very often from a German point of view. The German glasses have not been taken out. And it's also the other way around. When Indians explain certain incidences with Germans and I say, well, this is right now your interpretation and your interpretation from your value system, but it does not what I feel, what I know about Germany. I was born and raised here with a very Indian mindset. That is very interesting. So to switch there is not really easy. And if you really don't dive deep into a culture, which is definitely done in 3 to 5 years, but not into that depth because you don't live with that family, it's really difficult. And then on the other hand is also the question, what exactly, how much depth do I need in order to train or to do my business in India? That is also the other question. Do I need to know it very deeply or not? And of course you have people who support doing that and have a human resource department and so on. Is Advanced Training Technologies actually planning to set up a subsidiary, or are you in India, or are you very much working so closely with your partner company or your mother company there that would not be needed to set up a company there?
That's a difficult question, because I would like to answer that, because we were going to, COVID-19 just smashed into it in our thoughts about that, because we were normally starting the real project in March. And at this point of the year, we were like hoping to be steps ahead to see if it's important to like really have a company over there, or just working with GHH, or setting up a mining academy over there were also thoughts, but we are not really finished these thoughts, because I think what we can say about COVID-19 is it made everything slower. It slowed down. It didn't stop, but it made it slower. So the focus changed, and we had to plan or replan stuff, like with our train the trainer program. So there weren't that much time to think about, do we want to open up another company in India? So I think we will think about that, or I will talk with Mr. Trumpeter next year, maybe, about it again.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I thank you very much, Marcus, for your time and your answers, and giving me the time to interview you and give your insights with your experiences with India. And I wish your company with Mr. Trumpeter and all your entire team all the best, and that stay safe. And thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for the interview, and have a good time as well.
Thank you very much.